You know, each fall, as we as a congregation take time to consider the many ways that we make ministry happen here, one of the ways we've done this in the recent years is to reflect on the many ways we can say thank you. And there are so many ways beyond words to say thank you. One of the ways that means the most to me is when people say thank you by offering their time. Do you have people like that in your life? Maybe you're one of those people that offering your time and doing things for other people or showing up to be there is one of the ways you say thank you. It's one of the ways you say I love you. It's one of the ways you share and offer who you are. When someone shows up to be a part of something, to help, to encourage, or just be there, I look at those people as saying, you are worth my time. And that means a lot to me. It's a powerful demonstration of gratitude. And as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded that our scriptures have a story that remind us of this very thing, the idea that we are worthy of someone's time. Betsy, would you help our scripture be shared this morning?
Hi, my name is Sylvie, and I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. So, here we go. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, celebrate with me because I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life.
I want to thank Sylvie for telling us we're worth her time as she reads our scripture for us today. The parable of the lost coin is one of a series of stories that Jesus is telling in this section of Luke. It's lost thing, lost thing, lost thing, these story after story. And they're stories where someone puts in the time and the effort to demonstrate something or someone's worth. Now, being that this is a parable, Jesus isn't just talking about coins. Sure, the story says there's a lady, she's got 10 coins, she loses one, she looks for it, and when she finds it, she throws a party. Seems pretty simple on the surface, but again, this is Jesus. It's never about what you think it's about. It's always about something more. You see, as Jesus tells this parable, he is inviting us to remember that sometimes we are the coins. Jesus is talking about us. Sometimes we feel misplaced in life. Sometimes we feel like we've fallen off the table and we are lost among the dusty floorboards. And we wonder if anyone will ever come looking for us. And what Jesus is telling us with this story is that into that forgotten feeling comes a diligent and caring hand to come comfort us, bring us home, and tell us, you are worthy of my effort and my time. So hear that this morning. Hear the scripture tell you, you are worth God's time. God will always come looking for you. Always. Now, being that this is a parable, it also means there isn't just one meaning. Right? And Jesus tells it, it's not just about the coin, it's not just about us being the coin sometimes. As Jesus tells the parable, he's also inviting us to remember that sometimes we are the woman. Sometimes we are the woman in the story. Because there are things in our lives that are worth our effort and time to seek out and care for and support. You know, amongst all the busyness, all the random commitments that fill our calendars, the many obligations, those things in our schedule we haven't Marie Kondo'd yet and say, oh, I'm sorry, this doesn't bring me joy anymore. All the things that keep our lives busy, somewhere in our lives, amidst all the stuff, there are things and opportunities and people that are meaningful, that are the most worthy of our time and our effort. And like the woman in our scripture story today, we are invited to ask, what will we give our time seeking out? What will we give our time to make happen in this world? This idea of what is worthy of our time and our effort is a question we have to ask as a congregation as well. In this season of giving thanks, I want to take a moment today and say thank you to those that make worship here at Highlands United Methodist Church happen. Our ushers, our greeters, our green team, our coffee makers, the people that decorate the altar. Kay Davey, I don't know if you're watching from Texas this week, but this altar is gorgeous, and I'm so grateful for the thought and the intention you put into it. I think about our leadership team that met this week to think about the many things going on and the decisions that need to be made so that ministry can happen. I think about our trustees who are making sure the space is safe and kept, and oh my goodness, and our acolytes and our scripture readers and the people at the sound booth and running the slides. Every single Sunday, when you participate in worship, whether you're at home enjoying a cup of coffee right now, whether you're here in the sanctuary, no matter when or where you share in this, it takes place because of the people who've decided that it's worth it, that we're worth their time. Every single Sunday, you are benefiting from more than a dozen hours of service from the many volunteers. Every single service takes minimum 12 hours worth of people's time, and that's not counting any of the staff. Those are just the people who say, I will be here. And of course, those 12 hours here and there for the worship piece, that's not even counting all the many other opportunities. I mean, think about it. This week we're feeding the hungry, we're housing the homeless, we're participating in acts of justice to amplify unheard voices. Those are people's hours and people's time as well, as we seek to say, this is worth it. That is you, this congregation, making it happen 1 hour at a time. And I want to remind you that we do need your help. Brandon, who is our director of Congregational Connection, has put together this beautiful board that's in the back. For those of you at home, we're going to take a picture. We'll show it off. I'll send it to you. But I want you to take a look. This isn't rhetorical. Everybody sort of look in the back. Beautiful little whiteboard back there with all the little pieces. Each of those little colorful squares represents an hour of time it takes to make worship happen, to make beautiful things happen during the week. And we call it the plus one, right? The idea that, yes, I worship, but at least once a month, I'm going to offer an hour of time to help and be a part of things. I invite you to please visit the sign-up board and think about if there's a place that you can be a part of what God is doing here. Now, you might look at it and say, usher, I don't know what that means. Fear not. We're working on little index cards, job descriptions. It'll be like, usher, stand at door, smile at people. With your eyes, of course. You're wearing a mask. You know, like handout bulletin, pass offering plate. These things aren't complicated, and so we'll help you know what we need from you, but we invite you to be a part in that way. Now, another thing that I glean from our scripture today, as I think about the ways we offer, we always talk in our offertory prayer about offering what we have, what we do, and even more who we are. Another thing I glean from our scripture today is that when you give financially to this congregation, you are also giving the gift of your time. You are saying, this place is worth my time. Because when you support our ministry financially, you are investing the time that you spend earning that money that you give. Now, I tithe my income. So that's a biblical concept of giving 10% of what you earn. So I give about $6,500 a year to Highlands United Methodist Church. And what that means is one out of every 10 hours I work is going to fund our ministry here. It's an interesting thing to think about. That as I go through my day, some of the hour I'm putting into work, whatever it's for in this world, is actually for what God does here. And it's true for you as well. When you choose to support the ministry that God is doing here, a part of your time every single day becomes work that you are doing to support our values and our outreach, to support our care for one another and make a difference in the world. Have you thought about that? A part of every single day is making this happen. You do that. And it's this time of year we also sit down, and the reason we talk about giving in this time of year is because it's when we sit to do the budget. But it's not a budget. It's not a spreadsheet. It's a plan for ministry. Now, I'll tell you, each year until the pandemic hit, we as a congregation invested about $430,000 a year into our day-to-day ministry. Now this year, for 2021, we had to reduce that budget by about 10% because of some of the changes with, you know, not renting out as much space, not as many activities, not as many people showing up to put money in the offering plate. So we had to trim about 10% out of that. We cut as much as we could without minimizing staff or hurting our ministry. So in 2021, we expect to spend around $380,000 making this year's ministry happen. Now, I'll tell you, of that $380,000, about $15,000 of it's going to come out of our savings based on current projections. But we set money aside for a number of years, knowing there's going to be a time we need that, and it turns out it's now. But spending savings is not sustainable. And you see, so our ministry, to even hold without any growth, requires about $380,000 a year to get it back to what it used to be before the pandemic hit. We're talking $430,000 in 2022. Now, I share these numbers with you to help you see the scope of our ministry and for you to remember that we plan ministry based on the pledges we receive. We don't just pick a bunch of things to do and hope the money will come in. That would be highly irresponsible, and that's not how a good organization is run. The leadership team and I take our finances very seriously. And it is our commitment to you that we will do the very best we have with every single dollar that is given here. But if it's not pledged, we don't plan ministry for it. So for those of you in the room today, you'll find a pledge card in your bulletin. I don't expect, in fact, I don't even want this thing to come back today. I hope that those of you who will be choosing to offer to the congregation this year will take time to reflect and pray. And if it's your first Sunday with us, please, this is not a high-pressure thing. I always wonder, like, oh, what is it like to be a first-time guest on a week they're talking about money? Well, I hope you'll see that for us, it's not about pressure, it's about invitation. And for those of you at home, you'll find a link right on the website, and I will send out an email inviting you to prayerfully consider. Because when you give, when you support our ministry with your financial gifts, it has an impact. It's what makes ministry happen. We receive no outside funding. Ministry happens here because God works through you and your giving. And so I do. I ask you to prayerfully consider what you are able to give in the coming year. What can you do with what God has given you to help build a home where all belong in this place? Now, if you've never made a pledge to a church before, or if you did it somewhere else where it wasn't quite the same, let me remind you, a pledge is not a contract. It's an intention. It's you letting us know your plan. It can change at any time, and it's not shared with anybody. It's held in confidence. So please, in the week to come, in the weeks to come, let us know with that online pledge form or a paper card, if that's more your style, so that we can plan the ministry that will bring our values to life and demonstrate those values each and every day around here. Now, as I was thinking about the many ways God works through us, as I was thinking how giving with intention is truly a way of offering thanks, my mind these last couple weeks wandered to Catherine Schultz. Now, I'm intentionally looking at a couple of you who remember Catherine, a longtime member of our congregation, and she died last year, not from COVID, but during the pandemic. Her service had, you know, about 15 people and then was broadcast for dozens and dozens and dozens of others to watch. I miss Catherine. I miss visiting her apartment down the street and sitting and talking about life. The amazing questions she would ask, not just about life, but kind of to test me a little bit. I loved when she would want to hear my thoughts on things just to see where I was. Now, on the day of her memorial service, as we were preparing to celebrate her life, her family walked in with a bag, and they handed it to me. And it sort of hit my hands heavy. And it was a giant bag filled with pennies and nickels and quarters and dimes. And they said, we found this in her apartment, and it was labeled HUMC Kids for Change. See, Catherine couldn't make it every single week. And so she'd save all those coins so that Sundays she did come, she would be ready for when the kids wandered through with their buckets. As you heard Brandon mention, Kids for Change is what we do on the second Sunday of every month as the kids wander through the sanctuary gathering coins as they clink in the bottom of those little buckets, a special offering to care for ministry around here. Currently, Kids for Change supports Family Promise. In the past, it's also supported work fighting AIDS globally. I tell you, I love Kids for Change Sunday because it allows our children, and that's a collective our, all of us, right? Our community, our children, it allows them to be a part of the giving. It models for them what it is to offer. Now, sure, it's not their money, but they are doing what they can to help gather together and bring an offering. In a way, isn't that what all of us are doing? We do our best to gather together what we can to make an offering that will support God's work in the world. We put our time and our intention into giving what we can. And as I heard our scripture today, I especially loved thinking about Catherine in her apartment collecting these coins. Each and every day, Catherine was thinking, how can God work through me today? And when she saw that loose change, she'd set it aside. And I guarantee you, if one of them rolled off the table, she was going to go looking for it, knowing that it mattered. She knew it was going to a place where it would be put into the hands of those who could make a difference in the world. And that's our invitation to stewardship. To be mindful when we look at our lives, that we might ask the question, how can God work through me today? Wherever I am, whoever I meet, whatever I do. It's part of our invitation to build this home where I'll belong. Our invitation to offer what we have and what we do and even more who we are, to ask each and every day, how can God work through me today? And even when it doesn't feel like much in the moment, we gather it together and we offer it knowing that God will do great things with it. Amen.